Good to see everyone that's here this morning. Appreciate the presence so much. A little damp outside. I was hoping we'd have a white blanket this morning, but not this week, maybe next week. Still a kid at heart. I'm going to have a good snowball fight with somebody. Appreciate you being here and enjoy studying the Bible and singing these good songs. I look forward to sharing a thought or two with you this morning from the Word of God. And I hope that it'll be thought stimulating and spiritually uplifting and upbuilding too. You know, our topic this morning is entitled, What You Need is Regeneration. I hope that everyone here has already experienced that. But if you haven't, that's what you need. And all these people out here in the world around us, if they hadn't experienced, that's what they need, regeneration. In the King James Bible, you find that word two times in the New Testament. In Matthew 19:28, the first time it says, And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's Jesus talking to his apostles. So this first instance of regeneration, the use of the word, refers to the regeneration when the Lord comes again. The time when God renews everything and undoes the effects of sin in this old world. We're going to start it over. We're going to start it over right. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:25, He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So he talks about the regeneration, and I like the sound of that. I look around at this old world, and I see all the sickness and all the death and all the disaster and all the immorality and cursing and swearing and all this stuff. And I say, oh man, this old world needs to be regenerated, needs to be started over and straightened out. And Jesus says that's what it's going to be, in the regeneration. Sin will be removed. The results of sin will be taken care of. Matthew 13:43 says, Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Revelation 21:4 says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Regeneration. Peter says, We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Over in, I believe, 1 Peter chapter 3. So what a great thought Jesus introduces here with the word regeneration. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne, sits in the throne of His glory. But what we're talking about today is based on the second use of the term in the New Testament. And that's where it talks about personal regeneration. In Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, Paul wrote, But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So here he uses the term regeneration, not describing his work in the universe, in the world, and in all the people when he comes again, but here describing his work in the individual. The sin-sick individual who is in need of a makeover. By his kindness and love, Paul said. Not because we deserved it, or not because we'd earned it or merited it, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he, as Christians, has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That makes me think of Acts 2:38, where Peter told the penitent believers on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That makes me think he's talking about you and me, doesn't it, you? And he talks about the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we do our part, and he does his part. And by his Spirit, he regenerates us. And thus our topic. What you need is regeneration. I'm going to pick on you ladies a little bit today. I know sometimes I've heard you ladies, or not you specifically, but I've heard ladies talk about a mic over, getting a mic over. Now, you thought us men didn't know what that was, didn't you? I know y'all wish some of us get made over sometime. When ladies talk about getting a mic over, they're talking about getting a new look by restyling the hair and changing the mic up and what have you. Getting a new look, getting a mic over. But you know, that's just on the outside. God's mic over starts with the heart. Starts on the inside. Runs a lot deeper than that. You know, sometimes we reflect on our lives and we look in the mirror, as it were, and we don't like what we see. We see a person with ugly attitudes. We see a person that's negative and complaining and sometimes has bitterness. We might see a person that has sin in our lives and bad habits need gotten rid of and all sorts of things we may not like. We may look in the mirror and say, well, I just don't like what I see. We're coming up on the end of the year, you know, and one of the most popular things is making a New Year's resolution at this time. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be different. How long does it last? 3 days? Maybe a week? But you know, turning over a new leaf is much like donning your nicest clothes without first getting a bath and a shower and a shampoo or whatever. It's just on the outside. It's external. And it doesn't change the inside, and that's why it doesn't last. So I say what we need, if we don't like what we see, when we look ourselves in the mirror, I'm not talking about physically, but spiritually, the mirror of God's Word. James said, if a man's a forgetful hearer, not a doer of the work. He's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso, he said, looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God's makeover starts with the inside and renews us from the inside out. And that's the only thing that'll help us. In Matthew 12:33, Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Maybe you go out here in your yard and you find an old ugly bramble bush. You say, I wish I had a nice apple tree where that thing is. So you go out here to the dollar store and you get some of these pretty plastic apples and get some Twistums and get out there and tie them up in that tree. Boy, it looks good. It's got apples on it. Now, is it an apple tree? No, it's still a bramble bush, isn't it? You can hang some artificial fruit in that bramble bush and that doesn't change what kind of bush it is. And that's kind of the way it is with our turning over a new leaf and trying to do better and all this. We can try to live like a saint, but it's not natural. It doesn't work too good because we didn't start with the inside and we didn't let God give us his mic over. And what we need is regeneration. And I venture to say this morning that true regeneration is something that we cannot do for ourselves. Remember back, 30 years ago, we had all these positive mental attitude speeches and seminars and stuff, and talked about positive thinking and all. And I'm not knocking it. It was good as far as it went. But you know, we can't handle regeneration on our own. Positive thinking and trying to develop a sunny smile, a light heart, and a good attitude, that goes a long way, but it's not going to really get the job done. It's something that only God can do for us. And that is made clear in our text, Titus 3. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That doesn't mean that we don't have a part. We must come to him for it. We must truly want the change. We must repent of our old lives and really desire to be different. And we must meet his terms of pardon. But yet the entire operation is something that we cannot affect on our own. It's not a do-it-yourself project. And God may use some external means to bring it about. You know, when God was getting ready to give Joshua and his people the city of Jericho, he used some external means to bring it about. Wound up for a whole week and marched around the city 13 times, blew the trumpets and shouted, but then God made the walls fall. I heard somebody telling how all that vibration of the marching and the trumpet blast and all that just made that wall crack up until it just crumbled and fell down. Yeah, right. God was in it. That's why the wall fell. God did it. But he used the means. When the poisonous snakes were biting and taking the lives of the Israelites, God used the means of the brass serpent on a pole. Told Moses to make a brass serpent and put it on a pole. When you get snake bit, he said, you get out here and you look up at the brass serpent and you'll live. They had a part. But ultimately it was God that healed their snake bite. And we have a part. But it's not something that we can do on our own. Sometimes we get the feeling that because we have a part in it, it's something we can do for ourselves. The psalmist of old prayed in Psalm 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He didn't say, God, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm not going to drool over anybody else's wife. And this was written when he had taken Uriah's wife after the fact, you know. I'm not going to purposely put anybody out in the heat of the battle and have them pull away from them to get them, to take them out, get them out of the way. God, I'm turning over a new leaf. That's what I said. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So it takes the working of God, as Paul put it, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, to give us true regeneration. In Romans 12, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to submit to God. We have to come to Him and submit to Him to get it. And then we can have it. The renewing of our mind. The New Testament in Modern English by J.B. Phillips, which is more or less a paraphrase, says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. So, unless you've already had it, what you need is regeneration. What does the Bible call this process? Remember the time that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? John chapter 3. Said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you think he's talking about? Talking about this regeneration, isn't it? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, no, but you can be born again. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see or cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Peter said, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. This new birth is like the old man dying and being recreated into a new man. It's regeneration. In Romans 6, Paul said, what shall we say then? He's writing to Christians here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In our text, Paul talked about the love and mercy, the grace of God that brings about this regeneration, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we keep on sinning so God can just keep on forgiving? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He elaborates, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, or from now on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Paul said in Galatians 6:15, in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's what regeneration brings about, isn't it? A new creature. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we need renewal. We need regeneration. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul said, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, in comparison with eternity at least, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, fleeting, temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. In Ephesians 4, Paul said that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:22-24. In Colossians 3, he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to put to death. We talk about our mortal body, that means it's going to die. If we mortify, we put to death. So he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So fornication, sexual immorality, uncleanness, any kind of immorality, inordinate affection, It's like David had, you know, he fell madly in love with another man's wife. That was inordinate affection. Sometimes men fall in love, quote-unquote, with another man. That's inordinate affection. Sometimes women, quote-unquote, fall in love with another woman. It's not talking about just caring about kind of love. It's talking about this kind of desire that only married couples are supposed to have with each other. Inordinate affection, put that to death. Evil concupiscence, that's lust, lasciviousness. Covetousness, greed, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, saying that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness, or put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So Paul says what you need is regeneration. And he's writing to people who have been born again, and he's saying, now you've got to live it. Once you are regenerated, you don't go back to the same kind of life that you had as a sinner. You put all these things behind you. You know, once a caterpillar dons the cocoon and emerges a butterfly, he doesn't go back and crawl around all over the leaves he crawled around on and munched on when he was a caterpillar. He takes off to higher ground as a butterfly. When we are regenerated, we take off for higher ground. We don't go back to that old life. So what you need is regeneration. You can clean up your act, but you still need regeneration. You can turn over a new leaf, but you still need regeneration. You can resolve to live like an angel, but it's hard to live like an angel if you're not a child of God. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Talking about all sorts of immorality here. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. What? You mean some of these church members had been people? That's what he said. Such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They had had the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on them abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. In Ephesians 2, 1, Paul said to the Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, means made alive. That's another term for the regeneration. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, talking about the devil. You walked in the ways of the devil, that's what he was saying. Among whom we also all had our conversation, our behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, serving the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made alive us together with him, having forgiven you, or by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship. Heard people talk about so-and-so is a self-made man. Paul said, no, you're not. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he uses the term here, he's quickened. He said, we used to be sinners, but God quickened us. He regenerated us. He made us alive. We used to be caterpillars, but now we're butterflies. We've been changed. We've gone through this metamorphosis. We've been regenerated. Some people try to minimize the change that's brought about when a person becomes a Christian. Like we talked about a week or so ago, some people say, well, the only difference between a saint and a sinner is that the saint's forgiven. But we forget the big part, the part of regeneration, don't we? A renewing of our mind. The quickening that takes place. So what about us today? Do you like who you are? Do you like the life that you're living? Do you want to be different? Are you willing to make the change? Like a little child that mama gets and cleans up, are you willing to stop playing in the dirt? What you need is regeneration. If there's one here today that needs regeneration, well, Paul talked about baptism in Romans 6. There's a big debate among believers in Christ as to whether baptism is involved in regeneration. I think the scriptures make it clear that it is. In 1 Peter 3:21, Paul says, the like figure says, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not the power in the water that cleanses us, that regenerates us. It's not the act of washing our bodies that makes us new people. Simply like the brass serpent, or like marching around the wall, or like Naaman's dipping in the river Jordan 7 times to cure his leprosy. It's just the means that God uses to bring this about. If you need to obey the gospel, place your faith and your trust in Christ, repent of your sin, confess Him, and be baptized, we'll assist you in that. If as a Christian, maybe you've gone back into the ways of the world in some way. Maybe you need to go home and get in your closet and pray and make your rededication to the Lord. If you need to make that confession public, we are ready and willing to pray with you and for you. If there's one here today that's subject to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to come and get that regeneration while we stand, while we sing.